Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Cosmic Connections. I want to thank everybody for joining us. This is the November 4th program, and I'm still in Arizona this week, so I hope all is working well again. I'm in a different location than last week, but once again, I've got really poor internet connection. And I do, when I'm on the road like this, I run two separate laptops, and I'm noticing Facebook has a little, it says the live was interrupted on Facebook. The broadband and paused, it should resume shortly, and I don't know why, but bottom line is we get it recorded, okay? It does record at the end of the day if it, all of that is done well. So, but with that, Laka, how are you doing this fine evening in Atlanta, Georgia? It's state of suspense in the election scenario.
Yeah, it's Atlanta in the state of suspense, otherwise known as Georgia. But, yeah, I think I'm in the same place that a lot of Americans are. And it's like, what's going on here and where are we headed? So that's where we are. There's a lot of, even with all the censorship, there's a lot of information going around about, you know, what we're witnessing. So, again, you and I always try to look at the empowering side of this. And to me, it's just one more battle in the effort to dispel, you know, the old matrix that we've been under for many, 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 many years, and it's going to be a heated battle, I think.
Well, you know, it's really interesting you say that. I mean, we'll get into that in just a minute. But so tonight what I'm going to do is I don't have a lot of new announcements on anything. I will give a little bit of an update on what's happening about how the elections, in my opinion, might be affected by the currency exchange. And I did say that, you know, we live in a world that's still run and controlled by the cabal, by these extremely wealthy people. And I think that's part of this big that's going on right now, where they just flat out do not want Donald Trump to be president of the United States. And I think there's no doubt about that. We'll talk about that. And then to talk about what's going on in the elections. We thought, you know, when I was last week, that we thought we'd have a result here, but we still don't even know. We're probably not even going to know until at earliest, you know, probably tomorrow afternoon about what's going to be the vote. Again, what I can do, I can bring in what is my perspective because, you know, I've been around elections for 25 years. For 12 years, I was in the state legislature, and I was an elections law specialist. That was my specialty when I was in the legislature. I did start running for the Secretary of State office, which is, you know, the chief elections officer in Washington State, when our county auditor had resigned. Lots of people said, you need to run for the county auditor. You know, my heart wasn't in it at that time, you know, so I didn't. But I know elections laws very well, and I'm very familiar with the election process of what goes on. And so we'll talk about that tonight, and I'll give you what my perspective of what's going on here. But, Blanca, I had someone send me an email, and they had said, you know, they always enjoy when you come on to the program, but they said, they don't know hardly anything about you at all. You're just this woman with this name that always has these nice, great comments. But who is she? Where is she? No, she's in the Atlanta area, but beyond that, they don't know her either. Why don't you take a few minutes, share with us some stuff about yourself. Share with us, you know, your background. How did you get to be where you are, and why? What do you do, and you and your husband, Alan, and stuff like that. So I just give you a couple minutes to kind of tell the folks a little bit about you. You're always a part of this program, a great part.
Well, that's nice for them to ask. I think periodically you've given me a chance to share some of that because people are curious, and so I guess it's time to do it again. And of course, I was born in Texas and raised in Texas. We spent some time living in Chicago as well. And now in my later adult life, I've been in Atlanta. And I love all those states very much, but I'm particularly partial to the Atlanta area. People have listened. I'm always talking about the beautiful change of seasons that we have here. So I think we're here to stay for a good while. Although I do love the country. There's some fabulous cities, fabulous states. And I think now, given what we're going through, I think my appreciation for our land, our country, and my countrymen has greatly, greatly, greatly increased. So that's a little bit about me in terms of where I've been and where I've lived. In terms of joining you on the show, Dave, I've shared the story. I'll be abbreviated about it. But I enjoy doing a lot of research. I enjoy looking at alternative forms of information. I'm very interested in deep history. And so one of these days I was doing research on Corey Good. At that time, a few years ago, he was quite controversial. He popped up in the alternative media space talking about details of the secrets program. And that was fairly new a few years ago in terms of going deep in revelation about that. Now you hear about that a lot in different channels. But at that time, it was starting to surface. And as I was doing research on that, your your website and one of your videos popped up, because you were talking about shift and change, and you had a little slice of a video of Corey Good on there. Well, of course, that then I learned about you, and I thought, this is a very interesting fellow here. And so Alan and I started listening to some of your presentations in your archives and in your current shows, and we were very intrigued by what you were sharing, some things that we hadn't heard about, including changes in the financial system and the currency exchange, et cetera. And we were very, very intrigued with what you were sharing. And it turned out that you were going to do a workshop in a couple of weeks. And I told Alan, hey, that Dave that we're learning about is actually going to do a workshop in Atlanta, and maybe we should go and listen more to what he has to say and maybe meet him in person, et cetera, and meet some of the people who listen to him. And so we made plans to go to your workshop. And then that week you announced that you were looking for a volunteer to be on you with your show, because the lady who was helping you at the time was transitioning out and she was no longer going to be part of the show. And so when you said that, I thought, you know, I should volunteer for that. And Alan told me when he heard that announcement, he had the very same thought, you know, Blanca should volunteer. And to make a long story short, we contacted you, we agreed to meet with you during your workshop, and the rest is history. We've been together, 3 years, I think, going now, 3 or 4 years. It's just gone by really fast.
It's been almost 5 years.
Gee, Willikers, that is amazing.
It was in August or September of 2015 that I made the transition to where they had been with me previously, where she phased out. No, it might have been September.
Right.
But I remember that. Yeah, it was just that I thought this was kind of a what I call the divine, because, you know, the lady I had on with me, she transitioned out, and I was looking for somebody new, and boom. And this has just been a great fit. I think I'm just always amazed about how you and I so think alike. And I asked, you know, have you read this? And it's like there's anything that I've read that you haven't read, and we're on the stage and all this stuff, and how we think. So it's such a great compliment, I guess, you know, to have you on the program, because we're both in the same perspective about what we've and where we're going and how we think, and that's been really good. So,
right. I think we share that enthusiasm for ideas or practices or teaching that serve to, you know, empower and uplift and enlighten us. We're very much into empowerment and freedom, and also it's been very nice meeting the listener. So some of the listeners have had a chance to actually meet me in person and vice versa. And so they get a little bit more feeling. One thing, though, and I shared with you, that everybody says, you don't look anything like I imagined you. So anyway, I always think that's kind of funny. But anyway, so that's a little bit about me. And, you know, so I thank the gentleman for asking. And so maybe next time that there's a workshop, maybe we'll have a chance to meet him. Again, we look very much forward to doing that. And I look very much forward to continuing to have these conversations with you, Dave, because we are in very, very interesting times. If people don't realize, yeah, you are watching the dissolvement of one matrix and the erection of a new one, one with more empowerment, more freedom, bigger and brighter challenges, you're missing the show of the ages.
That is so true. Let me make one other side note, and if I may do this, and I know for a lot of people it doesn't make any bit of a difference, but what most people don't know is that you have a Latino background. Was it your parents or your grandparents that were born in Mexico?
Yes, my heritage is from Mexico. My parents immigrated legally, I might add, probably 60-something years ago. And they are proud Americans, let me tell you. If people have friends who are immigrants, they know they're very, very, for the most part, patriotic. And so it's been a very interesting thing talking with my dad about what's going on in our country, et cetera. And he's ready to fight anybody, anybody who's going to bring socialism in.
Because you were born in Texas, right?
I was born in Texas, yes. My parents were born in Mexico.
You were down in southern Texas, not far from the border, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And so Texas has a very, very large Hispanic population. And then when we were up in Chicago, also a large Hispanic population, but it was more international there. So I had a lot of experience with different ethnic backgrounds. I tell Alan, and now Alan's been born and raised in Atlanta. So when I tell him about growing up in Chicago, I tell him, you know, by the time I was five, I've had dinner in Cuban family homes, Italian family homes, Jewish family homes, Puerto Rican family homes, Cuban family homes, Russian, Polish. And so that's the kind of background or kind of experience you get up in the, you know, in the bigger cities. So I've had a diverse experience, and I'm very thankful for that. But being the daughter of immigrants, to me, is a special treat because you don't take your country for granted. I'm afraid that a lot of Americans do. And so when we're going through this stage where there's actually people who are trying to take over our country, you know, people are waking up to that, and they're starting to realize that we have a country and we have a system and we have fellow countrymen that perhaps we were taking for granted.
Yes. Yeah. So on tonight's program, I wanted to kind of go in a little bit about the election stuff. First of all, I want to say it's really important, and I share this extensively in the workshops, that we live in a what is called a dualistic world. There's the conventional world, everything that is presented to us in the public, everything we're taught within our schools and our different institutions that we have within our lives in here. And then there's the shadow world, and that's the world that goes on behind the scenes quietly. And in the shadow world is what I call these true elite cabal controllers live and operate with their extreme powerful money they have. But on a side note, there are white hats that are available in the shadow world, but they're very quiet about what they do. And that's what where the whole currency exchange comes in, because when I talk about my trips that I've had in my trips to basically, you know, Hong Kong, meeting with the Dragon families, and also understanding their extensions also in the Philippines, they have there with this extreme amount of wealth that they have. And I've been there either physically and where I have to meet and talk with them, or I've had even with the lady called the Princess in the Philippines, I've had two conversations on Skype with her, and I've been able to see, you know, into their caves, bunkers of everything that they have. So that's what it's called, the shadow world. Well, what's interesting is this presidential election. Never seen an election where there is such an intense difference between the two candidates. And to me, this was an election that wasn't about Republican versus Democrat. It wasn't about versus conservative. This was an election that was about a difference of being slave to the cabal-based system, being able to break free from that into a new higher sense of consciousness and awareness for the human race. And these two candidates were reflecting that difference. Now, that doesn't mean that they are deeply involved in it, but as much as the philosophies of their leadership was allowing that to happen. If Joe Biden wins this election, in my opinion, we're going to continue in what we have of a basically a shadow world, cabal-based, run-controlled world. I've mentioned how President Putin of Russia, President Xi of China, all three of them know and understand that they really are not the world leaders. It's the powerful, elite, shadow world, wealthy cabal that really run and control what goes on in this world. And they have been losing their power. And a part of that is the influence of President Trump. Now, it was about 5-6 months ago, I saw a video that had George Soros at Davos, Switzerland, in what is called in the World Economic Forum. And I saw a part of this, again, just, you know, a few years ago, where he flat out comes out and says, those here that are part of this World Economic Forum, i.e. the cabal, he said, we are wanting to bring the world what is called a one-world government, you know, what is called, you know, the elite, and they are wanting to move that way. And George came right out and said, Donald Trump is the biggest opposition for our control of moving into that direction, and we will do whatever it takes to make sure that he does not get elected. Folks, I've never seen stop to think, have you ever seen any time where there's been so much massive advertising, media, free, you know, what is called public, you know, service announcements about get out and vote, get out and vote, get out and vote. And it reflected because this is the highest turnout election we have ever had in America. And here now, and there is no certainty, but when I've been watching, you know, the news, you know, I watched them last night, watching, you know, Fox, CNN, and NBC flipping back and forth between the channels through most of today. Coming down right now to five states. It's coming down to Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Arizona. Now, Trump has the lead currently in Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. Georgia was going to be in good shape, but all of a sudden, last night had 320,000 votes, and it's now down to 40,000. I think he will probably still hold on to that. I think he's going to hold on to North Carolina. Now, Pena, he still has about a 200,000 vote lead, but it's hard to see. But he has to win all three of those states, and then he has to flip Arizona or Nevada. Now, what it's all coming down to is the late vote of the late ballots that come in. It's extremely important to understand that every state has the right by law to conduct their elections of how they want to do that. The federal government has absolutely nothing to do with the administration of elections. So each state can do things a little bit differently. When it comes to absentee ballots, states say they have to be back in the courthouse by election day, and then after that, it's not counted. It's a late ballot. Where some states say it only has to be postmarked by election day, and then some of them, it's postmarked by election day, it has to be in the courthouse within 3 days, and some states it can accelerate about 10 days that the ballot can be counted as it was postmarked by election day. And that's where some of this differences is going on. Here's what's been happening. But a majority of the states allowed what was called early voting, opened up polling places, not necessarily polls, but voting places where you could go in and vote early in present, or had a massive, you know, movement for the mail ballots because they said it was around the COVID-19 issue. And here's what it was really interesting. The votes that were voted heavily went to Democrats. It said that of all the early votes that went, Joe Biden won 48 of the 50 states. And on the flip side, on voting day turnout, election day out yesterday, Trump won 48 of the 50 states. So when you're seeing a real difference between the early voting versus the late. I want to go back and just share some experience that I had in my 16 years, you know, of being in the state legislature and even being in state campaigns. In Washington State, which was my home state then, for almost 20 years, Washington has been a total 100% vote mail state. They don't have polling places anymore. And here's what I always saw consistently. On election night, the ballots counted were the ballots that came in up to a day or two before the election. In Washington State, the ballots could come in, they would verify the signature, they would open it up, and then they would look at the ballot and they could see, is this ballot ready to be go to the counting machine? And if it didn't go through the counting machine, then there was always at least two people. And they would sign off on initial that on another separate piece of paper that they basically, they would what's called print the ballot so the machine could read it, and it had to make sure it was a very clear intent of the voter. Let's say maybe somebody put an X in the circle instead of filling in the circle, and the computer won't read it unless the circle is in. So it was very clear what their intent was. If there was any question about the ballot, it then went to what was called an independent group. And what they would do, there would be a Republican that there and a Democrat that would be there and a third person. They would try to validate what is the intent of the voter. And voter intent was not clear, maybe one race, but everything else was good. They would prepare another ballot for it. But it was always done under the watch eye of a balanced representation of the two parties to make sure that there was good agreement on that. So the ballots would be prepared, but they wouldn't start counting them until election day. At the morning when the polls open is when they would start counting the ballots. So the first result that always came out after the polls on election night was the early vote. And here's what always happened in my races. From Tuesday night of election until Friday night, 3 days later, I always picked up between 1 and 2 percentage points. For some reason, Democrats always voted early, heavily, and the Republicans would vote and wait and vote down. There's different reasons behind all that. There's speculations. Personally, myself, I think it's because Republicans have a tendency to lean. They don't like government. They don't trust government. So they're not enthusiastic about government, and it's a subconscious reaction, so they just wait to vote. Democrats are pro-government, they like government, so they'll go out and they'll take care of it early. What's happened in Georgia with massive movement overnight was they waited to count. They're now, first of all, counting the early mail votes. But here's what happens. Of the votes that are turned in by mail, and if they're dropped in the mail on the day before or election day, ballots have a tendency to follow the same pattern as election day voting. Now, personally, I think that's why Trump had a very, very good chance of flipping Arizona. Last night, in Arizona, he was about 3.5 points. Tonight, he's down by about 1.5 points, and they were doing an update, just about 20 minutes ago, and I'm here, so I'm not in front of the TV, but here's what they said. There were still 4,000 ballots to be counted in Arizona, but Arizona does something that not all states do. Because they register by party, the voters give public information. When someone receives their ballot in the mail, there's a barcode on that ballot that is specifically to the individual voter. So when the ballot comes in, the first thing they do is they scan the barcode that says, okay, Schmidt's ballot is in. As a side note, folks, I'm still registered to vote here in Arizona. Even though I moved to Florida, to register in Florida, I was going to have to pick Florida driver's license. I was going to have to change my driver's license from Arizona to Florida, and I never got around to doing that. So because of that, I couldn't register to vote in Florida, so I was still registered to vote here in Arizona. So, yeah, I'm in the Arizona registration. And so when my ballot comes in, they scan it and says, okay, Dave Schmidt's ballot is in. They know that. And they know that the record what party I'm in registered to. So of these 400,000 ballots that have not yet been counted, but they've been scanned in, they can tell what percentage of them belong to what registered party. And the President Trump's press secretary came on the on a program about an hour and a half ago, and she said in Arizona, 62% of those 400,000 ballots are registered Republicans. That means that part, that state of the late votes are going the other way. They're going heavy versus the early ones that went heavy Democrat. There's a very good chance then that Trump is going to flip Arizona. But we just don't know. It's too hard to tell. Georgia moved heavily that we didn't expect. And again, what we know, for, what it comes down to as where it is right now, Trump picks up either Arizona or Nevada. He basically has his 270 electoral votes. But Trump is bringing lawsuits because there's some there's been some illegal things that have happened and gone on in Pennsylvania, predominantly in Philadelphia. By law, each state does it a little bit different, but they are supposed to have what are called poll watchers. The police are able to bring in people, and they register in advance, and so they know who they are. They can't just show up to damn it. Pardon the list of names to the local county, says that these are our party poll watchers, and they are supposed to let them to come into the election area, watch and observe the election staff that are count opening and registering the votes. Well, what happened in Pennsylvania, they shut them down and they didn't even allow the poll watchers to come in. That is flat out violation of the law because it's supposed to be open. The parties are supposed to have their representatives there. They are able to observe the process. And there's another key thing that people are saying, you know, that the news media people and the Democrats saying, we want to count every vote. Well, but Trump is saying we want to count every legal vote. Because in law, in every state, you're going to have what validates a ballot of whether or not it's legal. If it's a ballot out in the mail and it comes back without a signature, it's an invalid ballot. It can't be counted. And election workers are supposed to verify the signature that the signature is a verified signature. Now, the system that in Washington State, they would say, okay, the ballots come in, barcoded, and they're put in a tray in the order that they come in, and then they go to the computer. The election worker brings up the file, and then what is okay, they bring up ballot, you know, number one, and on the screen, the computer screen, is going to be the signature of ballot number one. And so they'll, you know, the signature envelope where they sign right up next to it says, okay, this is a good signature. Boom, you know. And if they have any hesitation, it's supposed to go to the verification committee. And so that way it goes quickly because then, you know, they just, boom, hit their little button, the signature comes up, and then they, you know, because it's all, you know, computerized, so it goes quickly. Poll watchers are supposed to be able to watch that and to find that happened. Pennsylvania flat out broke that law. So that's where Trump is going to say, his campaign is going to say, if he loses, he's going to challenge that into the Supreme Court. Something else happened, and this is how, in Pennsylvania, this is how I understand it. Their state law said that ballots have to be in the courthouse by election day. And then they tried to get that ruled, and they asked a judge to make a ruling on it. And how I understand it is that a local judge in the Philadelphia area said, no, we're going to allow the ballots to be postmarked by Election Day and up to 3 days later. So if I understand that, what happened is the judge flat out rewrote the law of what is the law in the state of Pennsylvania, and that is another thing that they are going to challenge up to the Supreme Court. So what we've seen is these subtle violations of laws that are also, I heard this also on the news, that in Detroit there was a group of about 130,000 ballots that came in, and they went 100% for Joe Biden. 100% for Joe Biden. There's actually a graph and a chart that shows the ballots coming in, and then boom, there's this huge spike. Now, I don't know about the validity of that. That's what people have said, but these are issues that are coming up. And I think, folks, this is what's going to happen in this election. If Trump doesn't get the 260 Electoral College votes, and to do that, he basically has to win Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and flip either Nevada or Arizona, where he is behind. If he doesn't get that, this is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. This will be a Supreme Court decision on this election. Now, what does that mean for us? The kind of the technical stuff around all elections and about some of the stuff that's been going on, and supposedly, you know, Arizona will have most of them by tonight. Georgia will be done that by tonight. We should know by about, should say 10 or 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, but Nevada should end up being fairly well done and certified what they have. But folks, I think there's a high probability this, we're not going to know this until January, because this is probably going to end up going up, you know, to the Supreme Court and what's going to happen here. Now, how does this impact us? How does this impact us that are involved in the currency exchange process? It's not so much the money coming forward, but I think it's going to be the influence of what comes after that. You heard earlier what Blanca had to say. We are in the midst of a complete shift and change from an old paradigm of power and control, the elite cabal-based power control, and they are starting to lose that, and we're moving into what is called a higher sense of what I call individual consciousness and awareness. Individuals, how we're learning how to be in control of ourselves. We're freeing ourselves from dominance of slavery, various forms of financial slavery to these elites that we have lived under for thousands of years, and this is the opportunity to create that shift. It's coming because we're waking up. Our consciousness is being waken up. Now, there's all kinds of other stuff around behind how that happens. Part of it is we're choosing to wake up. The energy of our planet is shifting. This photon light energy is shifting and changing our DNA that is within us, that is helping us wake up more aware in our consciousness, and we're beginning to learn our true identity of who we really are as human beings, and the power that we have, authority that we have, versus being under forms of slavery for hundreds of years, if not thousands. This election is a huge issue that is determining the momentum of that change. If Biden gets elected, I think there's a high potential that gets kind of shut down. But another side of that story, the positive thing that Trump has been doing, he said he was going to come in to clean up the swamp. He's pretty much assured if Joe Biden becomes the president, he won't last very long, because coming back to the absolute proof of what is coming out of his son Hunter's laptop that the mainstream has not been covering at all. But there is solid, hard proof and evidence of what it is, and the deep corruption that has been taking place with this money around Hunter Biden with his dad, Joe Biden. That will come up, folks. if Joe Biden becomes president, you can be assured that stuff is going to come out, and it will end up going before the courts, and it will be tried. The Senate, Republicans, will probably have a hearing on this, just as the Democrats tried to impeach Trump just shortly after he got elected. So that's the positive side of what will come out of this, and it's not so much being against Joe Biden as much as it is back to cleaning up the swamp. The old power-based controlled system who runs and controls stuff in the shadow world is going to start getting opened up. It's going to start being exposed, and this will be big time exposed, I think, if Joe Biden becomes president. So we have our personal choices, but there's, even though it can be ugly, there's a positive side to what happens if Biden does become president, in that I think we're going to see more of the swamp being exposed big time. So that's where we are. And that's taking place. And I don't need to go on into more of the election stuff because you're watching all that. I brought out some of my experience about why late voting can go one or the other depending upon the individual state, depending on what their state laws are, and how different things come out about that. That's what's happening, you know, in that scenario. And I think that's about what I need and want to share on that. So, Blanca, why don't you come on in and give us and share with us your thoughts?
Well, that was helpful. It's nice that you've got the political experience to bring that point of view at it. And I do encourage people to follow what's going on. Even though there's a lot of censorship, there's still information. The way it appears right now, it's just the next phase of the war that they've been having on this president. And it started since even before he got inaugurated. And then they did that Russia thing and for 2.5 years. And then the fake impeachment for, like Donald Trump says, for that perfect call. and so now this whole election thing is, I think, another way that they're trying to delegitimize this presidency, and then ultimately, if they get their way, to actually topple the presidency and put their man in. It's a play that they've run in many other countries. If people have paid attention, for example, to what happened in the Ukraine, and I think for this audience, just because they're just what I meant, because they're open to alternative media, they're open to not being so programmed as to the easy answers. I think they can see that it's not you and me saying, oh, Trump's the good guy and Biden's the bad guy. It's not about good and bad. What we're seeing it is at a much higher level of what's going on in this whole shift in our experience living on this planet. And so that to me is just a continuation of that. And so the other thing, like you said, Dave, these shifts start bringing up the shadow side of things that we were living in and had accepted either knowingly or unknowingly, or we would just shrug our shoulders and say, well, that's just the way things are. No, now we're being confronted with it. So, for example, Trump will probably go as far as having them validate the ballots, not just count them. And so validating ballots in some of these cities, like you mentioned, Dave, like Atlanta, Detroit, Philadelphia, that have a reputation for not being not too clean in the elections, that if he's going to push for validating these ballots, he's going to start exposing election fraud that has existed in a very deep, pervasive level in these cities. And so that's going to be more shadow exposed to Americans about a system that they felt was granting them the power to elect the people to represent them, and that actually that thing was tampered with. So, again, now some people, I think, have fatigue. You know, they don't want to see the shadow of the paradigm that they lived in. People don't want to do their personal shadow work. And many people in this nation don't want to do the national shadow work. And I think many of us do want to do that, because once we do the shadow work, then we're on to more freedom. There's lessons learned. There's things that we can avoid. And I think that's another aspect, Dave, that we're experiencing.
Very, very well stated. Yes, I agree. Because that's why I felt this election hasn't been so much about, I mean, there's people who still live in the old paradigm, and they see Republican versus Democrat, you know, liberal versus conservative. I remember, you know, thinking this thought today, that at the end of the day, I went back to the 8 years that President Obama was president, and I got to thinking, what one decision did he make in his 8 years that had a deep impact or effect on my life? I couldn't think of a single one, not one. So my issues around who was president was an emotional response. It was an issue of perception and perspective and how it affected me emotionally, not how it affected me logistically, everyday physical life. So we allow ourselves to get so deeply wrapped up emotionally in who we think we want to be our leader, when we realize that person really has very little impact on our lives. Now, every once in a while, something will come up that may impact us individually. Yes, there was the passage of the Obama health care law. But that wasn't just Obama. It took the act of Congress. It took the vote of a House and the Senate and the President, all of them, to be able to bring that into law. But for me personally, it had absolutely zero impact on me, because, you know, I'm now that I'm retired, I'm Medicare, and then I'm also a retired military, so I've got 100% health care between those two. So whatever happens with Obama has zero impact financially. So at the end of the day, there was nothing in his 8 years that really affected my life. But what I am seeing is the difference in Trump. Now, you can react to him emotionally because he says stupid and tweets stupid stuff, and he can be very exaggerating in what he does. But what is he doing to get stuff done? It's a different story. And so the question is, are we looking at this from an issue of that we're not allowing this extreme energy perspective to kind of determine how we're going to perceive what's going to go on, versus how is this really logistically going to affect and change the world? And that's where we can have the ability to see a big difference in these two candidates. Your thoughts on that, Laka?
No, I think that's well said. Again, if people are subscribing to the idea that we are shifting into, for example, one way we can say it is a higher frequency existence. That's when we can say it. Some people say we're going into more fourth and fifth dimensional living. People say different things. Others say more expanded awareness or consciousness. If indeed that's what's happening and we want to be part of that movement, then we have to have, in my opinion, these sort of perspectives. We're still in the 3D. Yes, of course, there's a reality playing in our lives. But if we're going to move to those expanded awareness states, we have to have that much larger perspective that you were telling us about. So, yes, I'm in agreement with that.
Good. Well, wow, we've been on the air for about 45 minutes tonight. I don't have anything that I need to add or share to that, because we don't need to have a long program. Anything you else want to add before we talk to the callers?
No, I think if people have their own observations or questions, it would be nice to hear from them. Yes.
And folks, if you'd like to call in, if you got a question, the number there is 515-605-9356. Again, that's 515-605-9356. Make sure you touch one on your touch tone phone, and then we'll know to bring you up. And right now we don't have anybody, so nobody comes up here in the next about 20 or 30, I think we're going to be pretty much calling it an evening. And I'm going to go back and see what happened here in Arizona on the TV. What's going to happen? Are we looking at a Biden presidency or a Trump presidency, or is it going to court, or who knows what? I think it's going to be. So personally,
I do too.
I think this is going to be extended out, and it's going to end up going to court, and we're going to have a Supreme Court decision as we did back in 2000, you know, George W. Bush and Al Gore, you know, 20 years ago when we had Supreme Court
yep.
made the decision. Yep. I think that's what we're headed to. So I don't see anybody calling in yet. Do you?
No, I guess they're all, you know, probably in suspended animation like the rest of us and very interested in observing what's going on. I'm sure people are paying attention to this. Mm-hmm.
Folks, next week I'll be back home in Florida. And again, I do a workshop here in Phoenix on this coming Saturday. I still got some open seats that are there. And folks, I think you're going to really enjoy kind of the new information about who we are as a humanity, responsibility, what our purpose is, how we get to move into this new sense of freedom away from the years of slavery, and how the money coming forward in the currency exchange fits into all of that. I give more in-depth information about my experience around the exchanges, who I've met with, how I can verify that money is really out there, it's the real stuff. That's what I am sharing in the workshops. And what I'm also doing is for everybody who attends, I'm letting them have the full PowerPoint presentation that I use there. That's got a lot of really good information. It's really helpful for them to be able to have that. So that's what I'm doing now, and we would love to have you this Saturday in Phoenix. But I need to go to the website and to the, you know, the workshop page and put a registration in there. So, well, I don't see anybody else, Blanca, so are we ready to call it a night?
I think it's time to say good night.
Okay, thanks, folks, for joining, and we'll see you again next week on the Cosmic Connection. Thanks a lot, Kate. Oh, where's
good
my
night.
Jingle? Okay. There we finally go. Got the jingle. All right. Bye.